Good morning, everyone. So I'm here to bring the Bible reading. So it's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through to 13. So this passage is called Samuel Anoints David. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint the one I indicate." So Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come upon Joel now as he brings your message to us. And Lord, Holy Spirit, come down upon each of us here this morning as well, so that we can hear what you would say to us. Give us hearts that are open to receive from you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that this message would be of you. Bless Joel as he preaches to us now, we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Helen. Morning. Morning. Just before I do anything else, I just wanted to say a big thank you to all those who were here yesterday putting the Christmas decorations up. They look lovely. So thank you very much to those who contributed. That's grand. Last week, as part of what we were doing, we thought a bit about what the people of God were waiting for by the time that Jesus was born, and we considered David, King David, and the glory of his reign. David as the archetype that everyone wanted to go back to the glory days of David, when we were in control of so much land and space and it was all ours. And that's partly why we've read from 1 Samuel this morning. Partly it's because I really like the story of David. And partly it's because David had to wait. He was anointed as a boy. And there was another king on the throne at the time, and just like a young man who meets the young woman who will one day be his wife has to wait for her to dump her old boyfriend first, David had to wait for, I don't know where that story came from, David has to wait for the throne to be vacant. He waits 32 years before he is made king. Before we leap into thinking about what God is doing in our waiting, I just wanted to remind you all that our Christmas services, those services on the 19th of December, so we have a family service in the morning, a carol service in the evening. There's a Christmas Eve nativity here at 3 o'clock. There's Christmas morning, we'll be here at 10. The opportunity that we have at Christmas to invite people to come and share with us in worshiping God is an opportunity that we don't have in the same way at any other time of year. So I have a challenge for you, really. It's for each one of us to invite one person to one service. Each one of us to invite one person to one service over the Christmas time. Start thinking now, start praying now about who you might invite, which service you're going to invite them to, and that God would give you an opportunity to invite them, to speak to them about it. Invite one person to one service this Christmas. It would be good to pack the place out as much as we can, that we can share the love of Christ with those who don't yet know him. But we must be thinking about waiting. We are thinking about waiting this Advent. We looked at some of the background to Jesus' birth last week, what they were waiting for, the coming of God's kingdom, what we are waiting for, Jesus' return, and the fact that we are both waiting for it to come, God's kingdom, in that glorious day when Jesus comes back, but also God's kingdom is something that is in our midst. It is here. It is ready for us to get involved with now. Next week, we're going to look further on what we do whilst we wait. While we wait for Jesus to come again, while we wait for God to fulfill all his promises, while we wait for the pandemic to be over, or whatever it is we might be waiting for, what we should do, what the nature of our waiting is. But this week we're thinking together about God whilst we wait. What God is doing in our waiting. And as God's people, we are often waiting on him. We are waiting for Jesus' return, for that day when all things will be made new. But we're also waiting for other things. A word of God spoken over us to come to fruition. We might be waiting for him to speak to us, for him to show us what the next steps are on our journey with him as individuals, as a church family. We might be waiting for wars to cease or pandemics to end so we can go back to being the sort of people he has called us to be. Waiting for things to be normal again so we can go back to doing the things that we did before. We are all waiting for something. I think most of us are waiting for God for something. And it's normal for us to be waiting on God to do something. Many of the characters in the Bible were waiting for God to get on and do something, like David, who was anointed as a child, waiting to be king. But there are others too. Noah, who was told to build an ark whilst his neighbours watched and scoffed, and then waited for 50 years for it to start to rain. Abraham and Sarah, who were called by God to start a new adventure in the later stages of their life and still had to wait another 25 years for the child that God had promised them. Joseph, who was sold into slavery, having dreamt of his brothers and his parents bowing down to him, and then had to wait 13 years as a slave and a prisoner before being raised to the second highest office in the land. David, who wouldn't become king for 32 years after he was anointed. The Jewish people taken into exile in Babylon. It would be 70 years before any of them returned. I imagine it will be the children and the grandchildren of those who were first taken into exile that were the ones that got to go back to the promised land. Jesus himself, God who became flesh and dwelt among us, waited for 30 years to begin telling people about the kingdom of God. And there are so many other examples we can mention, maybe some that you are thinking of. The Israelites waiting in the desert to enter the promised land. The disciples in Jerusalem waiting for the Holy Spirit. All of creation anticipating, waiting for Christ's return. Sometimes, often even, God makes us wait. He makes promises, or we cry out to him. And then he seems to sit back and put his feet up for a decade or so before anything else happens. I want us to think about what is happening during these times. What is God doing whilst we are waiting? Not putting his feet up, I don't think. I don't know if God actually has feet or anything to put them up on. Maybe we'll think about that a bit more another day. There's probably a dissertation in that somewhere. What is God doing whilst we are waiting? There are some pretty well-known verses of Scripture that I want us to look at here together, ones which I'm sure will be familiar to some of you. This is Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It's a wonderful verse, and people often take this verse as a promise for themselves about how they're never going to face any harm and they will prosper in all things. But that is certainly not what this verse is about. Jeremiah 29 is a wonderful chapter of Scripture. In it, God tells his people that things are going to be hard for a while. In it, he tells them that they are going to be in exile for 70 years, that they're not going to be able to go back to their homes, that life isn't going to be sweetness and roses. He's not going to restore them next week. They are going to have to live as slaves and servants in Babylon. He basically tells them that they have to make the best of the situation they're in. Best of the bad situation. He tells them, settle down, marry, and continue to pray, to work for the good of the empire that has made them into slaves. God is saying that even in the hard times, he will be with them. Even away from the temple, even away from the promised land that he had given them, if they pray, he will still hear their prayers. He is still with them, even in that dark place. Whilst they wait to be returned to the Holy Land, God is there. This is an important lesson, I think. God doesn't turn up at the start of the Bible and create everything, and then on the seventh day he rested, obviously put his feet up on something, and then disappears until the end of the Bible when he's going to come back and make all things new at the end of time. He doesn't turn up at the start and give some instructions and then go away until it's time for his promises to come to fruition. God is with us in our waiting, acting and moving in those times, journeying with us and shaping us, even in exile, even when we are far away. And that brings me to another well-thumbed verse, another one that goes up on your wall to tell you that everything is going to be okay. Romans 8:28. Which says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." Again, there's that temptation to take this verse and use it to try and say everything's going to be okay always. But everything isn't always okay, is it? Everything isn't always okay. Sometimes we wait for a long time for God to act. Sometimes he seems not to be doing anything when we desperately need him to. But a God who works all things for our good isn't a God who arranges everything in our lives to always be wonderful. It is a God who takes even the worst of circumstances in our lives and brings some good from them. A God who enables us to learn and grow even in the hardest of times. This is not a verse that says the good will always outweigh the bad. It is a verse that says even in the darkest of circumstances, the most difficult things that this world throws at us, our God can bring forth some spark of light. A less popular verse which expresses some of the same sense comes from the book of James. Chapter 1, 2-4 say, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Hardship, difficulties, times when we are crying out, when we are waiting for circumstances to change, are times that our God can use to shape us, to help us grow, to help us to mature. I'm sure you know that this is true of your relationships, relationships with others, relationships which have never faced hardship, might be easy ones, but they lack depth. The deepest, most significant relationships we have are those that have survived times of trial, those who have journeyed with us through the most difficult times. And so whilst we wait for God to make all things new, whilst we wait for our present circumstances to change, whilst we wait for the pandemic to end or our house sale to go through, whilst we wait for something to change at work or someone to change, whilst we wait, God is with us and God is at work. God is using those times to shape us, to train us, sometimes to shape the world around us. For I know the plans I have for you. It's not about making everything okay. It's about him working in our waiting. Look at those people in the Bible again, those few I mentioned. Whilst Noah waited, probably being ridiculed, he had plenty of time to build a massive boat, to gather up animals, to make ready for the task God had for him. Abraham and Sarah are an interesting case. We'll flick back around to them later. But if nothing else, in those 25 years, Abraham learned to trust God. And he learned the consequences of not trusting God. Whilst Joseph was a slave and a prisoner, God gave him all the skills and contacts that he would need to help the whole of Egypt and indeed his family survive a famine. He learned the logistics of running a household, of caring for the needs of his fellow prisoners. God used those circumstances to shape him so that he was ready for the task ahead. The Lord's favor on Joseph helped him learn what he needed once he would be set free. David was a shepherd when he was anointed king. Can you imagine a shepherd boy immediately thrust into all the responsibilities of leading a nation? He was hopelessly inadequate for that task. 32 years later, by the time David became king, he had led men into battle. He had the respect of most of the people of that nation. He had learned much about himself. He had survived persecution. He had been sustained and protected by God time and again. He had learned about God and about the people of Israel. And now he was ready. He had been shaped as he waited. Already spoken about the Jewish people in exile who waited 70 years. And God said, make the best of where you are. Jesus himself had to grow up. I'm not entirely sure how many people would have followed him as a baby. Although, I mean, if he'd been able to start preaching as a baby, maybe he would have got some sort of following. He was being shaped for the task as he grew, preparing for it. Whilst we wait for the promises of God to come true, whilst we wait for circumstances to change, God is with us. And if we let him, God is shaping us, preparing and equipping us for the good works that he has in store. Hebrews 11 talks about the great people of faith. And it says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, waiting on God, trusting in God and his timing, learning the lessons that he has to teach us as we wait, is an expression of our faith. Waiting is faith in action. We have a choice as we wait. We have some choice. We can choose to learn our lessons in our waiting. Like Joseph. Joseph seems amazing to me. He goes through all these horrible circumstances and he seems to do it with just a, okay, this is what's next. I'll get on with it. Great. I'll make the best of it. I'll learn. I'll be shaped by God. Let him teach me. And I'll be ready for what he has for me. Or we can choose an alternative. We can choose to become impatient. We can choose to become bitter or resentful. We can choose to try and take matters into our own hands. And that's what Abraham and Sarah did. The child had promised, they were getting older and older and there was still no baby. And so they decide, I know what we'll do. Abraham can sleep with Sarah's slave girl. And we'll have a child that way. And then everything will be okay. God's promises will come to fruition. We'll sort it out. Because we can't wait on God anymore. Unfortunately, the child who was born was not Ishmael. Was not the child of promise. Was not the child they were waiting for from God. And in the long run, resulted in an awful lot of conflict between the descendants of Ishmael, Abraham's first child, and the descendants of Isaac, the child who would come eventually in God's timing. A lot of difficulty came out of Abraham and Sarah's impatience. I wonder what you're waiting for right now. I wonder what you have been waiting for. It's not so long ago, you know, that I was waiting to find out whether or not God was calling us to come to be at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. This time last year, we'd had to postpone me coming to preach with a view because of lockdown, and we didn't know how or when it might happen. It would be months. I have to tell you, the wait between the first conversation I had with Lynn and the final clarity of God's call, almost a year, was pretty difficult, frustrating for me. But in that time, in that year of waiting, God shaped circumstances in such a way that the delay became perfect timing for us. It was similar to when I first applied to be a Baptist minister. I thought I was ready. I'd been out of Bible college for 7 years and I was ready to pursue God's calling on me. I was going to go and be a Baptist minister. And so I went to visit the regional team, the selection committee, to go and sit before them. And they tell me then if I was ready, if I could go and be a Baptist minister somewhere. And they said, "You're not ready. Come back in a year. Come back in a year." I cannot tell you how frustrated I was and disappointed and annoyed. We were sure. We'd been praying about it. We were sure this was what God wanted. But you know, in the year between that meeting and the next one, when they eventually said, "Yeah, you can go to Baptist College and spend another 3 years studying." In that year, Caleb was born, our first child. And I don't think there is any way that I would have been able to study for a master's degree, lead a church for the first time, and be a brand new parent all in one go. I don't think I would have managed. God's timing was better than mine. And at the same time, I had so many opportunities that year to do bits of ministry I'd never done before, to learn and grow in ways I didn't know that I needed to. As frustrating as it was at the time, the wait for me, for us, was invaluable because God shaped both me and the circumstances around me for my good. I wonder when you have had to wait. And I wonder what God has been doing in your waiting. You know, this pandemic has seemed like a time of waiting for so many of us, waiting for lockdowns to end, waiting to see friends and family again, waiting for churches to open, for things to go back to normal. I think many of us are waiting now with bated breath to see, to hear whether we can go ahead with our Christmas plans or not, or whether things will change again as they did last year. Earnestly praying that they won't. But I wonder what God has been saying to us as we have waited, how we have grown during this time, whether or not we have allowed him to use this time to shape us and get us ready for the next steps on our journey with him. These are some things that I know that God has done with me in times of waiting. Maybe he has done similar things with you. He has made me aware of his presence. He has taught me patience and perseverance. He has given me his strength and helped me to grow into maturity. Maybe he's doing the same for you. If you are waiting for something right now, if you are waiting for a change, if you are waiting for something to end or something new to begin, let me ask you as you wait, what is God wanting to do in your life? It is never a case that we just have to wait until that thing happens. And once that thing happens, then I can let God shape me and change me. Once that thing happens, once this change occurs, once what I've been waiting for comes to fruition, then life can begin again. Then I'll be ready to change a bit, but not now. It doesn't work like that. God wants to shape us in our waiting. What are your opportunities for growth as you wait? I'd encourage you, take some time this week to talk to God. And don't just ask him, "God, what's the next step? God, guide me. God, what's next for my life?" Say, "God, what do you want to do with me right now while I wait for that next step? What lessons are you teaching me?" Maybe you are done with waiting. Maybe you are in the midst of change right now. And it might be good just to pause and ask God to show you where he has been over the last few years. Ask him to show you the good he has worked in you. And I would ask all of us to commit to do all of our future waiting with God. To allow him to use difficult times, to use times when we are waiting for change to shape us. that we might be ready to work alongside him when the time for change is here. God shapes us as we wait. God is with us as we wait. I want to close with another well-known passage of Scripture, this from Isaiah 40. This is from the NRSV. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, eagles can move at speeds of up to about 80 miles an hour without ever flapping a wing, just soaring on those columns of rising warm air, not using any strength of their own, but powered by the air. If we let him shape us as we wait, we can be strengthened and empowered to do the work he has for us. As we wait in the strength of the Lord with little effort on our own part, we too can soar like the eagle. Let me pray. Father God, I praise and thank you that you work whilst we wait, that you shape us during times when we are desperate for change, that you give us opportunities to grow in faith and in the depth of our relationship with you, that even in the hardest of circumstances, as we wait for change to come, you are there with us. In that foreign land, in that dark valley, your presence walking alongside us. And so I pray today for each one here, whatever we may be waiting for, that we can trust you for the future, for the change that will come. And in the meantime, you will use our waiting that we might grow into maturity, that we might be strengthened by your Spirit, that we might be ready to soar. For your glory, I pray. Amen.